No worries, man.
Yeah.
No worries.
I mean, ultimately, that's the best solution for the homeowner as well.
Okay. Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee as published in the Hunterdon Review. The agenda was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and as a courtesy posted on the Township website. Official action will be taken at this meeting. Would everybody please rise for a flag salute and a moment of silence?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated.
Mr. Adamowski?
Still here. Present.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Wonder?
Here.
Mr. McKee.
Here.
Okay. First up, we have presentation of the minutes. We have the minutes of March 20th, 2024, regular session meeting minutes. Any discussion or a motion to approve?
A motion to approve the minutes of March 20th, 2024.
Second.
Roll call.
Oh, yeah, roll call.
Yes. Roll call.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Next up are the executive session meeting minutes of March 20th, 2024. Any discussion or a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. And lastly, minutes of the budget work session of March 21st, 2024. Any discussion or a motion to approve?
The motion to approve the budget work session meeting minutes, March 21st, 2024.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is public comment for agenda items only. Can I have a motion to open the public comment for agenda items only?
I'll make the motion to open the public comment for agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Oh, here comes someone.
Ron Mikowski, Director in Road. My only question is the resolution authorizing the closing of the administration office from 12 to 1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, didn't we hire another assistant administrator to have enough manpower so we can keep someone here? Because there are a lot of times people can only get paperwork. Typically, the disability is on their lunchtime. And now you take that away. That was all.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it when we get on the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Agenda items only?
Seeing none, I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is a motion to introduce the its resolution or ordinance number 06-2024, amending Chapter 327 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon entitled Stormwater Quality, pursuant to new Articles 2 to 8 and the requirements of the Township of Lebanon's 2024 New Jersey DEP MS4 permit. And let's see here. Basically, what this covers is changes that the state requires for pet waste, wildlife feeding, litter control, improper disposal of waste, yard waste collection, private storm drain inlet retrofitting, and privately owned salt storage. So we're introducing this, and the public hearing. Can I get a motion to introduce it?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So the public hearing on this is scheduled for April 17th. I don't know if you have any initial discussion before our public hearing. You want to discuss anything, or we just move?
Well, not particularly yet, but, I'm certainly going to be interested in the details of regulating pet waste and
you know, what if you have chickens and stuff with what we hear going on around the country?
Yes.
I don't want to get on a slippery slope.
No, I agree, because it's not just township property. As I was reading it, it goes back and forth between township and private property in some cases.
Yes, it does.
So, I'm sure it's going to be a good discussion during the public hearing. And then along with that, so we introduced it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then the public hearing is going to be on next meeting, April 17th. Along with that, we've also got an ordinance number 07-2024, which is amending our littering of the township code, which also is, it's chapter 252, which also has to deal with the stormwater situation. There's a couple more. How many more do we have left of these?
One will be the tree cutting and removal.
Okay. So, all right. So, anyway, so that one, we're going to have any discussion on that one as well? So then we can move right.
Is there any way to absolve farms from this?
It's state statute, so we might have to get some people involved and get behind it.
So this is word for word what is required by the state.
Yeah.
Okay. And do we have any leeway with this to make any changes vis-a-vis the township?
It's pretty onerous.
Well, it can't be any more lenient than what the state proposes. And you don't have any of these in place currently because you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that, there's two that you did have in place. You had the littering, so that was just amended to, you already had a littering provision, so that was amended and actually pretty much mirrored what was there before. Just added a definition and then some language that would make it consistent with the state. And the other one is you have a tree cutting one. And Bryce is taking a look at, our engineer is taking a look at that to see how that in the state, what these other ones that you have that are being introduced, you didn't have to have them. So these are for the first time. So
who enforces these?
Well, ultimately the township enforces them.
Through who?
Through.
You're going to go running around looking at paperwork.
I'm not going to say how you're supposed to enforce it or the mechanism that's enforcement. But typically it's the zoning officer. I forgot where we have the zoning officer and or the police department can enforce it.
Yeah.
Whether or not you sent them out to look at it, that's another story.
I don't know, Bryce. Do we have any leeway with Bryce Good? Or you don't know. Do you know if we had any leeway here with the state on these things? Or what can we do to...
Can you go up there so the residents can hear you too, Bryce, if you don't mind, please? Thank you. He spoke about this a little bit the last meeting, so.
Mm-hmm. So as Mr. Roselli said, that what's in here is basically coming from the template that the DEP has offered all municipalities throughout the whole state. If the township wants to put something more stringent, it absolutely has the right to do that. Anything more lenient? No. You're out of compliance with your MS4 permit if you do that. So every municipality in the state of New Jersey has to follow the template to a minimum. They can add more if they want to. But if you don't follow the template, then you're running the risk of being out of compliance with your MS4 permit.
And how do they...
So we follow the template. Who comes in from the state to see if we actually enforce this?
Yeah, how do they police it?
So the DEP does inspections of municipalities. I don't know the regularity of them because they have, you know, how many municipalities throughout the state they have to do, but they do inspections of the MS4 permit to make sure you're meeting the requirements of everything within the MS4 permit. This is just a small portion of that. So when they come and do their inspection, if they see something, they could say something to you, and they could take action. What that action is, it just depends upon what the infraction is and what they, you know, it's your first one or not. Yeah, but the DEP does do inspections. We've been involved with those in other municipalities. So, yeah, the DEP will come to the town, from time to time and do an inspection for your MS4 permit.
Do you know if the League of Municipalities is putting any pressure on the state with these restrictive ordinances?
I don't believe so. I mean, this is, you know, this went through public comment, you know, through the state. You know, these were, the MS4 permit went through its process to be approved, and then each township is assigned their permit. So this all went through a vetting process through the state. It's not new. It was passed January 1st of last year.
Well, what about right to farm? Does right to farm override any of this stuff?
I do not believe it does, no.
And the Highlands doesn't help us at all?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, they'll provide you guidance. They'll provide opportunity for grants to help you, you know.
So the DEP would come in, and if you have a farm and they think you've got too much waste on the farm, they can fine you or tell you to pick up the waste?
So as you asked the question, that's a very good way of wording your question. Yes, they can. Now, what is the likelihood of that happening? In my professional opinion, I'm going to say it's very low. They're going to be focused on more obvious things. You know, you're not maintaining your stormwater basins. You're not maintaining your streets. You're not maintaining your inlets, the direct connections of stormwater to the waters of the state. So, yes, litter and animal waste is a concern because those can cause detriment to the waters. So if there is obvious issues, no different than anybody else. You can drive by somebody's property and see a problem, just like your zoning officer does now. I'm sure if there's a property on in the township that the zoning officer sees that there is issues, they take action. It's no different.
I wonder if they'll get the Department of Agriculture involved.
Well, yeah, look, again, understand that the definition of a pet is a domesticated animal.
There's no livestock in here?
No, it says a domesticated animal other than a disability system.
What's the definition of domesticated animal?
Well, a dog, cat.
Right. Not a farm.
Well, that's a domesticated animal, kept for amusement or companionship. So, that's
right. Amusement.
Kept for amusement or companionship. Yeah. So it's not intended for... If you have livestock or if you have horses.
And it did say something about emotional support animals, you wouldn't have to clean up after pet waste.
Right. Well,
so I read it all.
I hope you would, but hang on.
Who writes this stuff?
And now are we going to have to go to people's lawns and say to them, pick up your dog poop?
Again.
No, not on private property.
Well, again. Yeah. So again, just to Bryce's point, Tier A municipalities have had these same things in effect, I don't know, for years, right? They just have. So they're even though they when they went from tier, when they put everybody in tier A, they really didn't change these much. It's the same ordinances that have been in effect for most tier A municipalities going back. So that's not new. They added some language to some of the ordinances, but these are it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from my tier A towns that it hasn't been my experience that the DEP showed up and say, hey, there's too much dog waste on your neighbor's property. Mm. Now, a neighbor may complain and say, hey, my neighbor has too much dog waste on his property and it's becoming offensive to me, which they could do anyway. But, you know, this puts that on it. So the language in these ordinances go back. They're not new. It's new to you because you're now a Tier 8 municipality.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we're in with the floodplain people, but what's going on out there is making me wonder. Turn it to a flood.
Anyway, right. But, I mean, you mentioned pet waste. But I think the pet waste is if you had dogs.
Yeah. All right, well, we can move on in any event.
So just don't, if you have chickens, don't call them your domesticated animal. Just don't wildlife.
Or a companion.
Right, nor a companion.
Yeah, that's not for amusement. So in any event, the public hearing is for those two ordinances I just introduced is Wednesday, April 17th, which is our next meeting. And then I wanted to give you an update on the stormwater. This one is the stormwater management ordinance that we introduced on March 20th, the last meeting. It went to the planning board last night. I sat there. And so we have a resolution from the planning board that is, I had it over here. Carolyn passed it out for everybody. Yeah, there it is. That the stormwater management ordinance that we introduced is not inconsistent with the township master plan. So that is put in an ordinance. So our next step is it's going to go to the county planning board because it has to be approved by the county planning board, which is they didn't have any availability on the April agenda, so that will happen on, when is it again, May 2nd?
May 2nd.
May 2nd. And then if it passes the county planning board, then we have a deadline at the end of May to adopt it by, at the end of May, May 30, whatever it is, 28th. So it's in the pipeline right now. It's working its way through the pipeline.
Stormwater was longer than I thought there, wasn't it?
Well, some are July, some are May. It's like there's so many of them, it's, you don't even know what to do with this
stuff. I think they extended the stormwater beyond the May 1st deadline.
Well, that's good. So we'll be early if worse comes to worse.
Yeah, this ordinance is for the basically to follow the DEP's inland stormwater protection. It's not necessarily related directly to the MS4. So the deadlines on that are a little bit different.
Okay.
That ordinance or regulation, I'm sorry, was adopted in July of last year. So there is, we have a little bit more time on that one versus the MS4.
Okay, that's right, because if you had an existing one on the books, right, it covered you for a period of time.
You have one year.
Yeah, 1 year.
We're okay.
Yeah, I read that one right. That was later.
Yeah, so that's good. So then we'll have a public hearing on Wednesday, May 15th, if all works out well with the county. Any discussion on that at all? No, let's not get into it. Let's wait till the public hearing.
Yeah.
All right, so let me see here what you
think. Thanks, Bryce.
Yeah, thank you, Bryce. Next up, we have resolution number 63-2024, which is a resolution authorizing the closure of the administrative office from 12 to 1 p.m. And we are staffed right now, but what the problem is that right now you've got people that are eating lunch really early. You've got people that are eating lunch really late. If somebody who's eating lunch early gets held up, then the next person gets pushed out even further. And currently the staff feels guilty about leaving the building since they're leaving people behind and not everybody can perform every function. God.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So what's happening is that you've got some people are registrars and some people aren't. So some people can issue dog licenses. Here's the can't be done with the staggered lunches that are going on right now. Dog licenses, wedding licenses, continuing certificates of occupancy, and notary. So a lot of times what happens is the residents come in for certain things, and they're told they have to come back because the person that does the license, the marriage license or the dog licenses can't be here to help you. The other thing is when the lunches are taken in the building, if somebody doesn't go out to lunch, they're constantly interrupted. And we also have CWA employees that are guaranteed their lunch periods, and they're being constantly interrupted because they're being called in to help on other things that the other functions can't perform. So, there are times when people just come in just to chat. And
there is a little abuse.
There's
there.
A lot of chatting going on, and it's just the staff needs a break. Nobody here. I watch them, especially on the nights where they have to take care of meetings like this. It's a long day. They've gotten really no breaks, no continuous breaks where they could clear their head. Even they're just constantly being pulled into things. So the way is any discussion on this?
Well, I think we should give it a try.
Right.
And
is this on a temporary basis, or is this resolution?
This is, I mean, every resolution can be undone. I mean, I'm not going to say that this is a trial.
Mm-hmm. You know, while we're doing this thing, we can always capture how many people come in.
Right.
I don't think it's a hell of a lot of people that come in.
Well, that's it, Carolyn. You might want to add something to this.
It's not a lot of people, but it's a constant interruption.
Mm-hmm. What about doing a visitor book, like, so we know why someone is coming and
that's going to
reason for visit.
Let's say even if they do, it goes back to what Beverly just said. if they come in for a marriage license, there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they come in, they still have to come in another time.
They have to come back or make an appointment.
Yeah. I mean, it's you're collecting data, but data that doesn't tell us anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. So.
And if you measure things, you modify people's behavior.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to cause more effort. Right. Can you imagine? Where's the book? Who's got to sign in? I get, you know. But, I, you know, what you have to say to yourself, too, is you have a lot of good talent here now. And you want the staff. You want to be fair because just think, when I heard that they feel guilty leaving the building, that tells me how dedicated they are. Some people would just be like, I'm out of here. See you later. Don't call me. Don't do anything. And, you want to keep the good talent that you have. So it's a little bit, and we'll see how it works. Everything, it's not.
This is not a new concept. This happens all over the place.
Right.
And most of the surrounding municipalities, you check, right? They do something.
Well, yeah, I did. I checked around, and some people, I said, you only have the one person in the office. What happens? He said, we put a sign on the door, be back in an hour, or be back at 3 o'clock. So I called one time over the holidays to get a hold of somebody, and it was a pretty big town, and it basically said, we'll be back in 3 days. I couldn't even get a hold of somebody. It said, leave a message. So I think it's something that's worth trying. I don't know. Did we ever in the past, before my time, did we have the building closed ever?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, anymore. Okay. Well, we'll give it a try, and we'll see how it goes.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 63-2024.
Okay, before we do that, hang on one second. What I wanted to tell you, too, is it doesn't affect the tax collector or tax assessor because they come in at, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock? So 2 and 5? Okay. John Fleming is the only one, the zoning officer, but he does things by appointment, and he can just let the person in if they can come in at noon. So we're gonna see how it goes. I think it's going to be a good thing for everybody concerned because the efficiency, again, even with people having to come and go, come back because you're not here. So I think it'll work. Okay, so now you can do your motion.
My motion stands.
Second stands.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is resolution number 64-2024, authorizing a refund of a Highlands exemption escrow for 49 Forge Hill Road, Block 66, Lot 2.07. It's for Mary Beth Hull, and she was issued a check. She had issued check number 474, dated August 10th, 2017, for a Highlands exception escrow for 49 Forge Hill Road. There's a balance of $329.50 in the escrow account, and the township planner prepared a final application review letter with approval of the exemption on September 15th, 2017. Therefore, be it resolved by the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, authorizes the Township Finance Office to refund the amount of $329.50 to Miss Mary Beth Hull. Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 64-2024?
So moved.
Second.
Roll
yes.
call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is resolution number 65-2024, authorizing refund of Highlands exception escrow for 330 Turkey Top Road, Block 53, Lot 4. Mr. Edward Piasecki issued check number 790, dated March 31st, 2021, for a Highlands exception escrow for 330 Turkey Top Road with the Township of Lebanon. Whereas there remains a balance of $620 in the escrow account, and the township planner has prepared a final application review letter with approval of the exemption on April 5th, 2021. So, therefore, be it resolved, the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, authorizes the Township Finance Office to refund amount of $620 to Mr. Edward Piasecki. Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 65-2024?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And lastly, same deal, resolution number 66-24, authorizing refund of Highlands exception escrow for 412 Trimmer Road, Block 44, Lot 20. Whereas Mr. Adam Ambielli, Trimmer Road Company, issued check number 8957, dated August 7th, 2018, for the Highlands exception escrow for 412 Trimmer Road, whereas there remains a balance of $460 in the escrow account, and the township planner has prepared a final application review letter with approval of the exemption on December 20th, 2018. Therefore, be it resolved, the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, authorizes the Township Finance Office to refund an amount of $460 to Mr. Adam F. Ambielli Trimmer Road Company. Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 66-2024?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Recused.
Yes.
Yes. Next up, we have unfinished business, and what we have on the table here tonight is the employee, it would, could have been the employee manual. It's the employee and volunteer manual. I went through this thing with a fine-tooth comb. The attorney went through it. We've all had a month to look at it. When I went through it Saturday night, I found a few little things we need to tighten up. And so what I want to do, we can discuss anything else that you guys have, but I've got a list of, I don't know, like, it's typos and a few things like that, one broken linkage. But what you should know about this document is this is a comprehensive, excellent, beautiful document. Everything flows the right way. And the best part about it is the source is a statewide insurance company template. This is, and they're there to keep us out of trouble, keep us from getting sued. It's a beautiful, you know, going through it, it's just really, really a good document. So is there any discussion that you want to have now, or do you want me to make?
What are your 27 changes?
Well, you know, if you want to, it's like the word policy has two Y's in it on page 8, you know. There's a few things like that, but there is the one thing what I want to do is look through the ordinance chapter 78. And just make sure that wherever we've talked about days off and things
chapter
like that.
72.
Okay.
So, which I did, but you can check it.
Oh, you did? Okay. So I'll just, that makes me feel even better. So everything else looks really good. It's just really minor things here and there.
And that's actually, I'm sorry, Mayor.
That's okay.
I took the language and made sure it was consistent.
You did. Everything is great. And again, I don't think we're going to need a volunteer policy because when I looked at the insurance template for the volunteers, again, it's not a negotiable type of information. Like if the volunteers say, well, we want to see it first, it's not about that. It's about anti-harassment, anti-this, you know, it's things that protected classes. It's the same thing that's in here anyway.
There's many towns just, and I think there's a provision in that says it also applies to volunteers. I think there's language in that.
Yeah, there is. That's why I said, after I looked through it, because I said, oh, geez, I really wanted to keep the volunteers separate. But it would be a matter of saying, like, in other words, an employee might be disciplined, whereas a volunteer would be let go or could be let go of
The issue with volunteers simply have to do with the harassment policies.
Right.
Those types of things. And then also, you know, dealing with, I think there's some stuff dealing with political stuff that's in there as well too, but a lot of it's the harassment policies.
Yeah, it's unbelievably comprehensive. It's really, really good. And there are a couple of spots too. We need to add a secondary person as a certifier of certain things, and so we'll just have to decide. I'll put all the questions I had in, and if anybody has any last minute questions, just email me. But this will be on the agenda for a vote.
89 pages. That's all.
Yeah, 89 pages.
All right, make sure you got it all.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of forms in the back too, but. It's really a good document. So next meeting, this will be up for a vote.
Does that still have the red lines in it, though?
This one does not.
Okay.
Yeah, this one is good. So that's a big one. Next up is municipal doors, and Abe can give us an update on that.
She made headlines.
Yeah,
last
thanks,
time.
Jane. The DPW
right up
garage.
On the front page. The saga of the doors continues.
I fixed that one.
It is downright embarrassing having to deal with contractors. You know, they just don't seem to want to show up and do anything, even though they say they're going to be there. But Keith gave me a reference to iron doors. And he saw them on Scarponi funeral home. Very beautiful doors, and much stronger than the wood. Last forever, basically. So I contacted the company, and they make a custom door. It'll fit right in there. Problem is, what's the dimensions? I got to get the contractor to come in here and measure it, because he's going to be responsible for installing it. I'm not going to measure it, because if it's the wrong thing, you know, we're screwed. So they've got to come. I've been begging them to come and measure it. Of course, he hasn't shown up. So, you know, the company also gave me some other contractors. So if I can't get him to come, I'll call one of the other contractors and see if they will come. And what we need to do is get the measurements. The measurements go to the company. The company then gives us a price of the doors, plus we get a price from the contractor of how much it is to install, and then we'll bring that back here and we can make a decision.
Now, these contractors, are they, what is it, do you have to be state certified? What was the thing about contractors? Do they have to be a...
Have your business
not public works. They don't have to be public works.
They don't have to be public. That helps.
For a contractor, I mean,
it opens the pool.
I mean, I don't. But plus, the cost to install won't be 17. Mm-hmm. It won't exceed.
Oh, I saw them.
Oh,
yeah, thank you.
The cost of the door is going to be more than the cost to install.
I don't know where those doors are.
I have not spoken to Kevin on the
installation
part.
Because I have something profiled.
I have to see the whole brochure.
No, what I'm saying is the cost to install.
It's not a fait accompli that the wooden doors are approved. You know, these doors may be better, they may be cheaper. I have no idea until we get the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can make the decision.
Yeah.
The cost to he's just going to be installing the doors. Somebody separate is going to be manufactured,
correct.
Right? So his perspective is it's his cost. Now we have to look at, from the town's perspective, if them together.
Right.
Making sure it doesn't exceed $44,000.
Oh, we can't get for doors. We better.
Well, I'm just saying that's.
Yeah.
That's
going to be okay with metal doors that we have.
Well, see,
there.
Here's the whole thing. We've already passed the if practical part of needing two quotes because we know it's not practical.
Right.
Because you've tried, right, to get people out here. So.
I mean, what was it supposed to be? 22,000 complete installation, yeah. Everything.
No. Just 22,000 for the wooden doors, the Anderson doors.
Okay.
That was not for the installation. I mean, the installation was another 14,000, something like
right,
that.
Right, which was below the threshold.
Okay.
So, and there's a fair chance that these doors will come in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Until I get the estimates.
Yeah.
No idea.
Those doors you're referring to were the original old doors or different doors? You said Anderson doors?
The Anderson would be different doors because Anderson will not make custom doors.
Right.
So that means that they'll have to put a header on top.
Well, right.
And the door will be lower.
So they were 22,000 for the
for both doors, right?
For the Anderson doors, it was 22,000. Right.
For the front entry and the side.
Correct.
Yeah. I got
that.
You.
Mm-hmm.
I would check the Anderson. I think it was a single in here.
Hmm.
What was that?
The door that I see, the quote that I have here from Anderson, which we might be throwing out, right? I don't know if we're still looking at that. I only see one door for the meeting room, major door.
Right. That was if you recollect. I had asked them to give me a drawing so we would have exactly what it is they're giving us.
Right.
And I've been going back and forth with Updike's
rep.
Because I see him to give me anything.
It has one major and then two side lights.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's the door out front, right?
That's the meeting room door,
yeah,
according
to
this.
One. Not this one.
And then you have the other one for the foyer.
Right. So that was wrong.
Okay.
And I mean,
we did have original drawings that were correct, but they're wrong. Well, they were correct for the 7-2, but they're not correct for the 6-8 doors.
Well, that difference will be made up in the header.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
Correct.
I mean, personally. I know people were talking about metal doors being ugly and all that, but you know, if you go outside and you look at the fire door over there, the red one, it doesn't look bad. I mean, we need something because they're going to fall in eventually. It's
these are custom doors. You can make the design anything you like.
The door, Keith has pictures. They're nice.
No, I saw them. They're great. We can, if it works out, that's great. But I'm just saying, if it doesn't work out, we're going to have something. So,
anybody got an extra barn door laying around somewhere?
Yeah, right. Okay, so
let's do a garage door push button.
Yeah.
Next up, Brian was out last meeting. It was the draft ordinance for the dead and dying trees in the township right away. Do you have something, Mark? Or are you working on it? Says no. In combination with a stormwater thing or
trees in the township right away or township responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the township already has a ordinance in place dealing with the requirements to trim bush and hedges within the intersection, right? 25 feet can be cut down. It doesn't deal with trees specifically. There's a state statute that allows, and we talked about this last time, that allows municipalities to have an ordinance that would require someone, if it's a dead and dying tree on their property, to cut it down.
Tewksbury does that.
So you don't have that part of it.
Dead or dying tree or unsafe tree?
Yeah. Say unsafe condition, right. It always, unsafe condition, dead, dying tree, right, public safety. And there's state statute 40:48(2)-2.13 that talks about requiring removal. You don't have that section. Town does have one that requires, says brush, hedges, or other plant life growing. I mean, arguably, a tree could be plant life growing, right? Within 10 feet of any roadway or within 20 feet of the intersection can be required to get cut back to a height of not more than 2.5 feet, you know, if it's blocking turn radiuses and things like that.
Okay, so the property owner does have some responsibility and liability.
For sure. And then there's this other state statute that specifically includes dead and dying trees or obnoxious growth or stuff like that, or even roots, that you would require them. And that's a situation if it's a hazard, right? It's not the distance. That's just if there's a hazard that would require them. The town doesn't currently have that, that aspect of it.
So you do have some liability in the right-of-way.
Yeah. Well, Tewksbury sent a letter to their residents saying they need to get rid of the trees in the right-of-way that were dead and dangerous.
In the township right-of-way. Now, some towns do that.
Correct.
You know, that all goes back. And that would ultimately necessarily have to go back to when those towns, for instance, if they're newer developments or when they're approved, you know, if that was part of the site plan approval, putting in the right-of-way. There can be a pushback on that. Just because, you know, it's in the right-of-way, the property owner doesn't necessarily have to, would be responsible for it. Problem is, let's say if it is a dead and dying tree, township's aware of it, and then they do send a letter, and then the town still, and they don't do anything about it, the town's will notice, then the town better take that tree down, because something would happen. Ultimately, it'll be the township's responsibility, because it's in the right-of-way. Well, we don't have anything that deals with right away either, right away or anything like that.
So this is yours, Brian. So what do you want to do with it from here?
I haven't seen a draft.
No. When we talked about this a few weeks ago, I brought up this other provision to see if you were interested in me doing a draft. And it seemed as if there was not a consensus to go forward with that type of draft.
Is there a consensus?
I don't remember seeing a provision. I don't remember.
There was no draft. I talked about it. I said there's a state provision, state statute that allows you to have an ordinance in place that would require people, property owners, to remove trees if it's dead and dying or dangerous condition.
So you're looking for a motion to authorize you to provide
us? Well, I just need direction. Last time when we brought this up, it didn't seem as if there was people that the committee wanted me to do that.
Well,
I'll make a motion to authorize the attorney to provide us with a draft for review.
And while you're at it, check where what I don't want to see is we get in a situation where people are going to be forced to take down trees that maybe what would they consider dangerous? You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's big and it's hanging. Like, I have a beautiful tree in my front yard. But somebody could say it's dangerous, I guess, if they're walking under it.
Well, we're preparing a draft right now, right?
I guess.
That can be discussed.
That's good,
Okay.
You might have to get the opinion of an arborist.
Well, you can. Well, it depends to what extent, right? I mean, you know, dangerous is, I think, understood to be it's leaning.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
Some stuff is always slippery slope.
We're restricting ourselves
You know, it was always more kind of live and let live around here, but...
But then somebody's going to have to take it down. If it's not going to be the homeowner, that means it's going to fall on us.
Could be. And then you can lien the property, right? I mean, there's always... Remember, municipalities always have police powers, right? And so to the extent that there's a dangerous condition that exists, and you know it, and it could fall on a street or a sidewalk, and you notify the property owner that, hey, this is a dangerous condition, you need to address it, and if you don't, then, right, the town's aware of it, because if they don't do it, and nothing does happen, and it does fall, it could be your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know, for instance, if you had sidewalks, same thing happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some municipalities, when there's sidewalks, they have ordinances that specifically require if there's a sidewalk, and let's say, you know, we have roots, and they require the homeowners to do it. Now, sometimes those sidewalks are in the right-of-way. Sometimes they're not. They're just on the person's property.
Right.
But they still put the responsibility on
the homeowner. Or they have to shovel them in the snow.
Yep, yep.
You just gave me post-traumatic stress, because when I was registering for kindergarten in Somerville, there was a heaved sidewalk, and I had my hands in my coat pocket. And I fell and cracked my head open. They had to take me to the hospital. I hadn't thought about that until you said that.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Jeez. That explains a lot.
Oh, my mother, she was so upset. Anyway, so we'll move on. Well, so you're going to do the draft.
Yeah.
That's the motion. Did we vote on that?
We don't need to do a motion for you to do a draft.
Right? Nah, it's just consensus, as long as I have consensus direction. All right. Okay.
So how much time do you need for that?
I can have it for the next meeting.
I heard that.
This is not doors.
It's
good
hearing.
Ordinance.
The fall didn't affect my hearing. Okay, so next up is the Master Plan Buildings and Grounds Subcommittee status update. I know that the last time I brought it up, you guys said you were going to meet. Did you get a chance to meet yet?
Go ahead.
We had some back and forth emails, and we're planning on meeting within the next week.
Yes.
But really what I'd like to ask the committee is if they could provide us with some ideas of what you think in the next 5 years of a plan, that things that might need to be updated or done or a,
well, Carolyn
a
sent out a, she sent out a
well,
notice to everyone.
I haven't gotten anything back.
And I sent it to her because we're supposed to send it to her, so there's no quorum.
All right.
So she's collecting it. So just have you gotten anything from anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you guys.
That way we can add that into what we're reviewing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just me and Tom. We want to hear from all of you. What you kind of think? That's it.
Yeah, and that's so I know that some of it, I think what the plan was is she's going to be able to get some ballpark estimates, and then that way we, when everything's mashed together, what we need, then we can prioritize and what do we want to do and
right,
not
well
do.
You're headed towards more little stuff in here. I'm looking at a bigger.
Well, I was even thinking the pavilion roof and all that. It's
yeah.
all, you know, all
yeah.
things like
but
that.
We're not really going
I
over
think
the
we need
carpeting
a little more
and
time.
Stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll bring you something more concrete of ideas outside some of the scope we had already.
All right. Well, what I'll do is I'll you know, you guys can get in touch with me, and if I don't hear from you, I'll by, like, the end of May, we'll just bring it up again.
Well, it was a 5-year plan, so I have 4.5 years.
If it winds up like the doors, we could be
20 years. Yeah, maybe about right.
Yeah, maybe about right. Okay, so next up is new business. We're going to have Bryce Good come up again and talk about, this is Musconetcong River Road, New Jersey DOT grant update, and what we're trying to do is avoid missing any steps that jeopardizes us getting the grant money. And I'm glad it's being recorded so we can listen to it again.
I did talk to him. He's on it.
Good.
So as the mayor said, we there was an application for the municipal aid grant approved by the NJDOT. Resolution was passed. That was provided to the NJDOT as part of their process. The next step is to provide plan specifications and estimate, PS&E. There's various acronyms that the DOT uses in their processes. I do have their process. I can give you a copy of what that looks like. Half of this is Greek to me, and we know what we're doing. So
yeah.
I will give this to you. You can have it for your reference, what, where we're at. But just for your reference, this is a workflow chart of how the DOT grant process works. So let me pass it out so you guys can see that.
Now, again, is this SAGE or PMRS or both?
So SAGE is no longer used.
Okay, at all?
At all. It's all PMRS.
Okay.
That's the online program that they use for tracking everything.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be done.
Thank you, sir.
So, the acronym that they use for this step is called LAMP, L-A-M-P. I already use the PS&E acronym, so a lot of acronyms thrown around. As you can see, there's lots of processes here.
So the next step is to, the applications were made, it was awarded, resolution was passed, et cetera, et cetera. So now we need to prepare the plans. We want to make sure the plans are approved. The DOT over the last couple of years have gotten a little more strict on what those plans need to look like. Years past, sometimes you were allowed to just put a location map in, say we're going to go from this point to this point, and we're going to do an overlay or whatever the plan was. That's not accepted anymore. So what we need from you at some point, and we can talk about the schedule here in a little bit, is the authorization to prepare these plans that we know they can approve. So you know what we're looking at. I brought an example from another town. This is not the same county, not the same town, but it's a plan that we did last year. This has been approved by the DOT. It was constructed, and the grant money was funded to the town. So you can just understand what kind of plan we put together, so you can kind of see what we're talking about when we say we need to do some survey, engineering drawings, the estimate, the specifications, et cetera, and what that would be.
And that comes out of the grant money?
That can come out of the grant money, yes.
At the back end when you get the grant
money.
On the back
end when you get the grant money back, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So for everyone here, this is, you're talking about redoing the road.
So the plan on this grant was for, I need to confirm, but I believe it's approximately 3 miles was the original plan of Musconetic Mountain River Road. That doesn't mean you have to do it all, okay? That's what I was talking about, schedule. The way the DOT grants work is you apply, they give you what they're going to give you. So if you apply for, I'm just going to throw the numbers out, $500,000 is what your estimate was to do the job, they give you $100,000. You can reduce your project down so you're only using $100,000. And you can apply again for the next section, the next year, and so on. So if you don't want to put out any money from the township, you can continue to shrink your projects down and add them and continue to do them over the years till you get your final project done.
So this grant, because part of it is county and part of it is municipality, so is this just for municipality part of the road?
That's correct. Yeah, it's a municipal aid grant. It's only for your portion of a road. This road happens to be, like you said, is a mix of county and township road. It's only for the township road.
Okay.
If the township has their own funds and they want to fund the whole project on their own, that's definitely up to you. You can absolutely do that. It's a decision you would need to make as a town, how you want to handle that. The soft costs, the engineering, the survey, the inspection, whatever you may have in part of that, can be brought out of the grant money. So obviously the more you take out the soft cost, the less you have for construction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of balancing of monies and how you want to plan to do it, and there's a lot of conversations of how that works. So I'll give these to you. You know, they're just an example, okay, just so you can understand what kind of plans we put together, so you can say, whoa, this is way over what we want to do. No, we're not going to do it. Let's try something different with DOT. I already gave you the one matrix to show you, you know, the workflow chart of what the DOT expects. The step that we just processed through the resolution looks like this. This is from PMRS. This is the one step that we just completed. This is the whole process. So you can see DOT is very, very process-oriented. They make things very stringent. If you miss a step, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Until you complete that step. So there's a whole process, and everything requires resolutions, approvals, next step, resolution. You know, there's a whole process, and I can go through those if you want me to. But basically, I just wanted to outline to you where we're at with this grant. The next step is to submit the plans, specifications, and estimate. And basically what that is just, this is an overlay project, so the estimate is going to be how much base course, how much wearing course, et cetera, et cetera. It's all really, it's a very simplistic estimate. It's no dollars, it's just quantities. Specifications are just basically very, very simple. These plans that the example I'm going to show you are the plans, specs, and estimate all in one place. So that's what they are. So it's not like it's reams and reams of paper or of documents. Once the DOT receives those, then they offer their approval of those plans. Then you can go on to the next step. That would be resolution with the township awarding the project, including a bid tabulation. If you're going to use the co-op, there's nothing further needed. You just use the co-op. If you're going to bid it, not use the co-op, then you have to go through a bid process. That's up to you how you want to do that. Then the DOT approves the resolution of award. Once again, every step has to be met or you cannot go forward in the process. Doesn't mean you can't do your project.
Right. Well,
okay, yeah. You can do your project anytime you want to do it, but you're risking not receiving that grant money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's, once again, it's a choice. As my numbers I said before, which was arbitrary numbers, are not associated with this project, but if the original budget was $500,000, they gave you $100,000, if you don't follow these steps, you're just going to pay a full $500,000. You're not going to get that grant money on the back
end. So, yeah, you brought up that point that we were trying to figure out, too. So if, in other words, say like we got, we submitted specs and we got $200,000. Well, the specs are coming after they gave us the award. Is that how it was working?
That's correct. You submit an application which basically says we want to do this project, this type of work on this road. In this case, it's the overlay on this section of road.
Okay, so if that's what we did and we got the $200,000 and then we decided to scale back on that project, do you still get the $200,000?
Yes, ma'am.
And what do you do with the excess if you've scaled back?
Excess as far as the...
Well, say like it didn't cost... Well, okay, so
you
you're
scale back to where
cost
it will cost only $200,000 or a limited amount of township-funded money. You don't scale it back to be below that number.
Yeah.
You know, your original project was... say 3 miles was going to cost, as my numbers have been saying, $500,000.
Right.
But you didn't get a grant for $500. You got a grant for $100.
Exactly.
So let's scale it back. Let's only do a mile of that 3 miles. Well, now it's going to cost whatever, $150. So you pay a little bit. The grant covers most of it.
Yeah.
The thing with the grant is it's 2 years. You have 2 years to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
2 years to get through this process. So you don't have to do the work this year. So the benefit of what I was describing earlier was scale your project back, do Section A. Now we do a grant application for next year, for the 2025 grant, which will be this year, towards the end of the year. We do the same road, but we're going to Section B. You get awarded a grant, which is pretty high likelihood. Most, you know, you guys have been successful. Most towns are successful getting something.
Mm-hmm.
Then next year, you build Section A and B. That way you can, it's basically two projects, but you can do them all, you can kind of do them together. You got two grants, maybe a little bit of money out of your pocket, but not, actually that's a decision. That's just a financial decision by the town.
How much control do we have on these specs? I don't think it's an appropriate spot for a super highway going through down the road.
So if you're doing an overlay, it's going to be a basic situation, and the project I have here was just a resurfacing project, just like you have in your project that you have right now.
Okay.
So you'll see in here that it's basically very, very simplistic. It's just an overlay. It's not, we're not building a super highway. We're just going to put in, and there's details in here, and I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry. That shows that we're going to do 2 inches of a surface course. And we're going to do a leveling course because not all roads are level.
So essentially the same width.
Same width.
No curves, no big drainage problems.
Now, there may be a situation where you in the project you might need to do an upgrade of the inlets or upgrade of culverts. Those are typically done by the town. The DPW typically handles those unless you've applied for a drainage project. And that's part of, you can do that as a grant as well.
Was this? Have you talked to DPW, Warren?
About a little bit, yes.
A little bit. Okay.
So there is drainage on this that they was basically planned to be done by the DPW when this is done. There's upgrades to inlets that need to be done. There's some culvert upgrades that need to be done. Obviously, you don't want to go in there and do them now and then later have better, you know, let's keep working.
How was this road identified to be in the grant?
So that was before my time.
Okay.
Basically, in general, the town would decide, okay, what roads are really needing resurfacing, which ones are in bad shape, and kind of nominate them, kind of have them in order of, you know, road 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's put a grant in. Like last year, the town put in 2 grant applications. One was denied. One was approved. That's typical. That's the way it usually goes. You put in a main and you put in a backup. They usually approve your first application, deny your backup.
Yeah, Warren seems to keep a list of what roads need to be done at what time.
Yeah,
that's good, right.
It sounds to me like, from what you're saying, when we get a grant approved, we should have a kickoff meeting. You, Warren, somebody over here, decide what we're going to do, how you're going to, what the scope's going to be, approve you to scope it out, put the specs together.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and it doesn't have to be real formal. I mean, it can just be, you know, the five of you kind of thinking about it and saying, okay, look, we put in for this grant. Warren thinks it's going to cost us much because he's done an estimate, and there was an estimate done by the previous engineer of cost estimate, what it was going to cost. You didn't get a grant for the whole thing, and that's typical. You don't typically get the whole grant you asked for.
Right.
Because they're granting money across the state, so you get a little bit. So then the town has to decide, okay, are we going to do the whole project, which means then we pay this much, or do you scale the project back where you're trying to use mostly grant money to do the project? That's a decision on your part. I mean, we obviously can give you input, but it's a financial decision. It's not, that's all it is. So, you know, it's not really for me to give you any recommendations on that. That's right. Solely how you want to do it. You know, I'm not.
Yeah, it would be good. You have Warren, you know, from the DPW yourself, and Brian is the liaison, and then Brian can report back on, you know, to the committee to get any kind of approvals we need here.
Right. Yeah. So, you've
described the process, but the issue is we can't get started without first putting in the application. So all this is well and good, but the only decision we really need to make is, do we need to put in the application?
So the application's been placed. That is done at the end of the year. It was done last year.
Okay.
The approval was given by the DOT on November 1st of 2023. So you were awarded a grant in the amount of
$241,263.
So the next step is, what are we going to do with it?
So the next step then is you do a resolution to accept the grant, which has been done.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the next step then is to provide the DOT plan specifications and quantity estimate so they can approve it.
Okay.
That's where you have a decision now to decide your original project was more than $241,000. There was a number put together. The estimate was $740,000.
So you're going to develop a plan to spend $246,000.
If the town decides to scale back the project and not do the whole project, then we can work with the town on figuring out what portion of that road we want to start with, one end or the other. Don't go in the middle.
You would work with DPW and Warren to do that.
I think that's an appropriate place to be.
Right. And Brian.
So tonight, you want us consensus or resolution?
Consensus
to move forward and create that estimate or that change. $246,000.
If that's the way the town wants to proceed,
right.
If the town wants to proceed, just, you know, you know what? Yes, we understand it was $740,000.
Right,
they gave us
right.
$240,000. You want to spend $500,000 of
right.
the town's money? That's up to you.
Right.
You just tell us. Well, what I'm looking for from you is, one, how do you want to proceed, and two, give us the permission
right.
to create this plan.
So
do you have any extra money to put?
Well,
into
we budget
this
for
road?
That.
Yeah.
Our
what
budget.
Did we budget?
In the budget and under capital improvements, there's road resurfacing X amount of dollars.
Yeah, we got to talk to Warren and find out what he thinks the priorities are.
That's versus chip and seal, right?
Well, there's road resurfacing, and there's also a portion of tar and chip. How Warren does that. That's where Warren has to come into the fold.
Exactly.
And explain how he's working his budgeting money.
Now,
the whole thing is, Mayor, you should say ask them to give you a cost proposal for them to do the plans and specs.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking, though, if we don't know, if we need to get together first to decide the scope,
well, you should figure that out.
Or the egg.
I think you should know the scope because the scope's going to affect the plans and specs.
Well, his costs, though, are going to be based on how elaborate.
Correct. So you need to know how much of the road you're going to develop. That will impact his proposal for cost.
So then it would be Brian and Warren, with I could come or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, when you get paid, like, do you want payment immediately or do you wait till the grant to get paid?
So typically the town, the grant is a refund kind of thing. So even, I know I'm answering this in a roundabout way, but.
Yeah.
Paying us, paying the contractor, buying the materials that the DPW does, the town fronts all that money.
Okay.
Right. And then when you get through this process that I'm talking about here, all the way down at the end where you've gone through everything, all the resolutions, all the information to DOT, you sign off, the CFO signs off, the DOT cuts you a check for $241,263, and the town, through the financial office, figures out, okay, how does that get distributed?
Right.
You've already paid the money out, but you're now filling your bucket back up.
So the suggestion would be is they go ahead and create the plans to spend the $241,000, and if we decide we want to throw in some money that we have in for capital improvements to continue to extend the road, that's up to us later.
Yeah, but that'll change their
plans
and specs, right?
Well,
because
Warren both ways, can't we?
You could. It would seem to duplicative services rather than figuring what amount of roadway you want to do, then come to then make that decision, and then you would tell Bryce that okay, this is what we want to do, give us a proposal to prepare the specs, plans and specs.
We need to get with Warren,
then you go that way, just so it's just moving it's not right. As Bryce said, it's not unusual for if it's a long road, which it seems to be. You take, three different grant applications
we'll
to finish
it. Because be at places where you don't even realize it is. So.
Okay, right. So I'll meet with Warren and see what his priorities are there. I can only think of one section in my mind that probably needs to be resurfaced. Part of it, I think it's pretty good, but it's not my.
And if you want me to come, I'll come too. If I'm around, if you need me.
You want to ride shotgun with me?
So once that decision is made, then we would just need authorization to, and we can give you a cost estimate what it would be. And I think I've already kind of given the mayor a ballpark. Of course, it depends upon if it's 1 mile, 3 miles. That's going
to
be variable.
Yeah.
But once you decide if you're going to do a portion of the whole thing or all 3 miles, then you can just tell us that, and we can give you a number. Then we just need authorization from you
to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, that dollar amount could be just, yes, you would pay us. To answer your question, you would pay us ahead of time, and then some of the money from the grant would be backfilled into your coffers.
Make us whole again at the end.
Yep.
So I know you were talking about deadlines, that we don't want to wait too long on this because of the PMRS process and how long it takes with the approvals and all that.
Like I said, you have 2 years.
2 years for the whole thing.
For the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you want to, like I said, the road depends on the, and I'm not trying to complicate things, but I'm just trying to help the town use your money the best way you possibly can. If you just wanted to do all 3 miles and go to construction as quick as possible and spend your own money to do 3/4 of it or more, then we can just go right now. And you want to do it this year, we need to jump on it pretty soon because of the process it takes to go through. Now, typically you have used the co-op to do your resurfacing work. That does speed the process up a little bit because we're going to have to go out to bid and all those kind of things. If the road does need work, but it can handle maybe another season, then the process can be a little bit slower. We can get everything ready, get it approved to a point, and then wait to do the construction until the next grant can be applied to it, and then do both together next summer.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a little bit of time.
I can do Friday. You available Friday? We'll meet Warren.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather do with as little money from us as possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the whole road needs to be redone immediately. Okay. Just do the bad area.
I just would recommend you do it in sections. A contiguous chunk. I wouldn't do a piece here, piece here, piece there. I would try to do it all contiguous. Mm-hmm. This makes it a smoother process. And then the DOT will be more apt to approve things.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, unless you were around and you want to go. And the, I mean, you're, unless you're around on Friday and you'd really would rather go and the two of you and...
What time?
It's up to him and Warren, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Are you working that day or
what? I'm not, but I did have plans, but...
I was going to take the day off, but I never get a day off anymore.
I'll call you.
No, it's only, either one. If you want to do it, I mean, I would...
I think Warren's the...
He's the lynch, yes.
Why don't you just let me do a Warren? We'll go from there. That's all. All you're going to do is look at that road. And
all right, well, just, you know.
It won't take long.
Whatever you would like to do.
I think we get Warren in the fold. He probably has this
Warren,
well thought out
absolutely.
What he wants to
that's
do.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So... Okay, so where?
I don't want, like I said, I don't want to scare everybody with the process. We've been very successful in the past with this process. A lot of people are very successful. You just have to. The mayor's been on PMRS. It's not a user-friendly program. It's just not a fun thing to be on. But we've been successful with other towns. We just gotta do it step by step. If you get ahead of yourself, you're going to be behind the eight ball, and then that's when you get the letter from the DOT that you're
going to meet with him Friday.
Yeah.
So if you go through that process, you spend less money, you spend less time, less worries on you, and then you're successful in getting a check written to you by the DOT.
Yeah, well, at least I'm glad we have some connections with the PMRS system, because that's what's that process is what is going to get you. If you know that if you're going to fail, it's going to be via that process.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm not worried about Warren. I'm not worried about what, you know, I'm worried about that stupid system.
Yeah, and we just don't want to do anything that you don't want to do. So
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
If you're interested, I can give you a copy of the example plan.
Yeah, why don't you leave them with Carolyn, and then we can put them in the kitchen and, you know, take a look at them.
Like I said, that's an example. It's from a different town. It was a project. But that project's about 0.8 miles, so...
Yeah, it gives you an idea.
An idea of what we're talking about.
No, and I know you'll be good at what you do here, so... Don't ever feel you can't yank our chains, too, if you're not hearing from us. If there's something in PMRS, that thing gives me nightmares.
One nice thing about PMRS, it does provide you notifications. So if you're out of step, or if you're, you know, hey, it's been a while since you entered this step, it'll notify us.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I got something in my inbox and I'm like, oh my God, because I just have those nightmares from the last time. And then all of a sudden you go in there and there is nothing for you to do, but it's alerting you that there's nothing for you to do. And it was making me think there's got to be something that wants me to do, because why is it alerting me?
So,
you know, and it just,
that's when you pick up the phone, you call us and we'll guide you through that, because we have the same questions, because I get the emails as well.
Yeah.
And you get the email because you're party to it. So you're getting the email. I'm getting the email. I had the same question. Why am I getting his email?
Yeah.
So we dig into it. We find out. And sometimes it's just the fact it was an auto-generated email because they notified us 2 weeks ago and nothing's changed. So, and some of those notifications are on the past grants that have been, I guess the best way to put it is, you're not going to get them.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is, like beads of sweat are forming on my forehead, and it's something that's old.
Let's see how far we can get with the grant money without paying out of our pocket.
Okay.
That's just a workflow system, right?
That, what I handed you is just a workflow
system.
Yep. What I handed you is just a workflow, and like I said, where you're at right now is the LAMP. So when you're looking at that little circle, you see where we're at. We're pretty close to the beginning.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bryce.
Now, if you have any questions, please let me know. And if I need to come back in to talk to the whole group, that's fine. I can do that.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sounds
Bryce.
Good. So next up is, this is another Brian initiative here, the policy discussion on status reports, like an executive summary of what's going on from the department heads.
Would you like to lead that discussion?
Sure.
Good. Brian would like to get reports from the department heads. They would be helpful. Like, for example, what is the DPW working on?
Yeah, just a monthly report. We brought it up once before at a meeting. The police chief already does a fantastic job with that, providing us with their monthly report, which in the future I'd like the whole committee to be copied on. But also like to get a report. Fire department used to do a report for us years ago, Tom.
When you say a report, like a profit and loss report?
No, just an operation report, calls, what they're doing.
Current projects.
Events going on or things.
Jeopardy situations.
Are they allowed to do profit and loss? We can't in the town.
We have in the past. And,
you're not financial.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Call volume.
Call volume, events, issues we should know about, that kind of stuff. DPW, that would probably be the most complicated. Not really complicated, I shouldn't say that. But just monthly updates of what's going on, what projects are being worked on. And then we have zoning officer, tax collector, tax assessor. How many people are visiting them during the month, and any issues with those. And something maybe Carolyn and I could, we talked about, maybe you and I could work on a little forms. I had done that one draft, but we need to make it a little nicer than what I did because I don't have the skills.
Because she had one from Mendham, too, that she was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, I actually got some ideas off of that one, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. that was really it.
Well, next up is, I'm going to turn this over to Carolyn and for the municipal office cleaner quotes.
Yes, so our current cleaners that we have, we're not in contact with them. They're at $150 a month to clean our municipal building and the library as well, once a month. We're just looking at some other options. We did receive two quotes from two local companies. One came in at $175 and the other at $240. Both have good references, both have good reviews. Met with both of the owners, so possibly looking to change.
Yeah, well, we've had issues for quite a while with the current, company. So
what's the cost difference with the new?
The one came in at $175, so it would be a $15 increase per week, and the other is at $240, so slightly more based on flexibility with their price. The $175 is a cleaner that's local in Washington, and they're more of a commercial building cleaner, where the other is more of a, so they do for commercial, they're more of
So they'll address keeping clean under the stairs and,
yeah, and that kind of stuff. Okay. And what we need and then understood. So I don't have, to me, I think it's personal preference. The $175, that company seems responsible. The other thing is getting something consistently to come X day at X time. Because right now we have it kind of whenever, haphazardly.
And the garbage isn't picked up and. Yeah. But we're being charged for it.
So this new company would be willing to schedule, and
yes,
you know when they're coming.
They could do a morning at X time. It wouldn't be at two different days, but consistency. We both of them were
So what do we need, a recommendation to move forward?
Yeah, I guess.
How would you?
Well, ultimately, you're going to have to word it by resolution, but the other thing is make sure they have BRCs.
Yeah, that's on my list to do, but I didn't want to talk down that.
And the EIRs, make sure they have those. Mm-hmm.
So if you have somebody in mind, maybe that's what you do, just check that they have the credentials, and then for the next agenda, we just put it on there. And
resolution. There's probably a template already that we did. I thought we'd last month.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's the same thing that you have two quotes.
Okay, next up, I think, is Jay and Carolyn working on the IT committee.
I'm going to let Carolyn speak to it.
So our current contract with IT services is up at the end of June. We are with Hunterdon County ESC. They are currently at $1,000 a month for the services. They quoted us for the next year, so July through June of next year, at $1,000 a month, so they've kept their quotes the same. They did do the upgrade of all the computers and the servers here, so they're familiar with the system. We do have an issue with them with response time, but I've worked well with them, so no other issues, really. But we did go out and get another quote from another company that I'm actually familiar with, and they come out and quoted us $900 a month for this service. They're going to do exactly everything the same. They're going to change some things up, I think, that probably should be looked at.
Are they in a co-op?
They are not in a co-op.
So, let me see, what they're doing, $900 a month?
$900 a month. So, it's under...
It's under a quote threshold.
It would, I think, be the same thing in other resolutions.
Yeah, it would. Just make sure they have... Well, it looks like they have municipal... They have governmental entities, so they probably have everything.
Now, how does this work with GoDaddy? I meant to ask that question.
Except they spelled Harding wrong, but that's okay.
What?
They spelled Harding wrong.
Yeah, there was a couple of things wrong. Yeah.
They're IT people. They don't worry about letters.
Well, I saw with the cleaning service, I saw St. Peter's, the cathedral or whatever. They had a template they were using. I thought I was reading wrong. Anyway, so GoDaddy it's separate, but John, you know, at the ESC, they work with updating.
His law, so it's the count under John at the ESC. We would just have to switch the account, is what I think.
Okay. That's right. You know IT.
Yeah.
So you're not.
Well, and then there was other issues around backing up data and things like that. People walking around with thumb drives is a no-go. So, some of those things we need to clean up. Mm-hmm. And the other entity, MES, was a little more on top of those sort of things. Like,
yeah, they have some different backup options.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some things just, I guess the way that ESC does it is their backups are to the school.
To a school.
So I don't know if that's right or wrong, but MES.
What do you mean they back up to the school?
The way our files are backed up, they're backed up to the servers at two different schools, where they run out of, if I understand it correctly.
They don't have their own servers?
I guess the schools have their own servers.
They ESC is Educational Services Commission, so they started out with the schools, so they're kind of tied to that. And the backup was going to Clinton Township School or one of those, I forget exactly which one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute.
And where are MES's servers?
They should be backup to our servers.
We'll have, we'll have backup here, and then we'll have a cloud backup, which is
what
they were talking about.
There's an
array in the room.
But that array is
that's
just
a RAID.
Internal.
Yeah, that's a RAID, but
they need an external backup,
which should be to cloud. Which on theirs, they're not going to cloud; they're just backing up to another RAID in a school someplace.
Yeah,
and see that when the ESC came in here, we're the first municipality that they ever did. Everything is schools.
Yeah,
and we were trying to do a shared service originally when they were brought in. I got called in to help make it happen. You know, so
they got us to step one.
We got it. We got it done.
Step one.
Yeah,
we're antiquated. Now we need to modernize.
Yeah,
like that thing that we're using to record the.
Oh, that
recorded
yeah.
sessions is.
That's
yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, she got that.
Yeah,
too.
But at least we won't have to wait 3 days to get like when somebody computers were crashing. I mean, it was a nightmare.
And MES would respond very quickly.
Yeah. Auto generate system so you. Put a ticket into their IT, it generates a ticket acknowledging it, but then there's also a direct line to them as well if it's an emergency over the weekend or on a holiday. Right now, I do have to send a text, and usually I do get a response.
So MES is cheaper and provides more service.
Correct.
And I think they would write code if we needed them to write some code to do like workflows down the road when we want to have better workflows for the office.
So what do we need to do those things?
Well, we have to find out that they have the BRC, whatever.
Other thing.
What was it?
I'll come up with a different contract. I don't like their contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably our attorney's going to have to do the contract.
So we have consensus to move forward to prepare to have a resolution to...
You can do make sure you just you have the, because it's over the quote threshold, you just include both quotes.
Well, are we going to try and chisel them a little bit before we do that?
It's
you can always do that.
It's only 100.
You're going to haggle?
That was his first offer.
That's right. Let's see if we can get more rather than pay him less.
But I like that they can pivot quickly. It
yeah,
sounds
no,
like. Whereas the other one is like it's moving a mountain.
this is this will be what we need.
Just so you know, though, their hourly rate is a little higher. MES is $125 an hour. Versus
if he's outside of any of those.
Right. Yeah. Now, luckily, we have all new equipment now. That was all of last year. Not that that can't break. But
the EOC has a minimum of 2 hours.
They do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'll be for next meeting then. All righty. Next up, we have a presentation of the vouchers. Did you see my note?
I saw it.
The clerk changed the mailboxes in there. So, you know, we're like a habit. You're used to going, all of a sudden I'm signing things and I'm realizing they're not mine. They're Jay's. Because his slot is in a different spot than
mine. Well, it says Beverly Wojcik on here.
Beverly Wojcik. My township husband.
Yeah.
Township committee husband.
My wife will say take them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Want me to go first? Since
well, Abe, you have none that apply? Okay.
I have one that applies for ESC for $1,000. That's it.
Okay.
Technology support services.
Okay, I have one to the Borough of Washington, who is our aggregator of towns for the animal control services for 2024 contract. 2024 second quarter due April 30th is $2,706. Lebanon Township Board of Education, the 2024 April school tax levy, $1,142,287.60. I've got one for our illustrious attorney, Mark Roselli.
He's not going to be able to fit through the door.
I've been dieting.
Yeah, all of us, right?
You got the tripe.
Don't even talk. It makes me want to throw up. 2024 legal services retainer for February, $3,500. We've got another one for March of 2024 for Mark Roselli for $3,500. And then we have an escrow account, Board of Adjustment to Stickle, Koenig, Sullivan, and Drill, LLC for, where's the amount on here? $3,386.25. I'm surprised it's not on, oh, there it is. Okay. Then we have one for Common Sense for Animals, which is the animal location where they take the stray animals for a couple of expenses for a rabbit that was found, a white rabbit, and a cat.
At the place off of Fordshill Road by you, up that way?
What, the rabbit?
Yeah, the place where they take the rabbit.
Oh, Common Sense is up in Washington. It's way up.
Doesn't we have one right here in town, though, that's off of
Fordshill? Yeah, but this is under contract with, you know, with the ACM. Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway, all right, so that one doesn't even apply. It's $524. So I'm done with mine. So you can go on to yours, Brian.
Okay, Patriotic Office Cleaning Company, $1,320. Municipal Emergency Services, $3,023.12. This is police uniform, et cetera. Griffith Ally Trucking, LLC, gasoline. It's not broken down here. I'll read the two lines. Will have to be multiplied. They're circled. $1,506.78 and the $4,890.31. And that's all I qualify.
I have Dirt Essential Power Light for the master plan for lighting. $1,016.08. I have another one here for the County of Hunterdon for health food inspections, $1,600. The other one is New Jersey Fire Equipment for the Fire Department Personal Protection Equipment, which was in capital from last year, $18,636.75. And most recently, Station 3, the bay floors were finished with a commercial like paint, $13,545.
So the total bill list for the period ending April 3rd, 2024 is $1,213,180.43. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is correspondence, and we've got minutes from the Environmental Services Commission. And if people haven't really read this, you should really read it. It's good information in here. Lots of very comprehensive information, including on stormwater items and everything.
Most of those items are being addressed through our.
Which is good. And Sharon's been real good. Sending out emails and things about and talking to it. So it's good work. So with that, I need a motion to open a public comment for anything anybody wants to talk about. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Hi, everyone. Dr. Timothy Valero, Hickory Run Road. I'm not sure if this is something, you guys can answer, in this setting, but in regard to some of the information, posted about NAR, I was just kind of curious. What is the residents' exposure with, multiple, pending lawsuits against the town? And when I say like exposure, it's like, do we have enough insurance to cover, these lawsuits, the amount of coverage, and, just to kind of see where things are kind of going on your standpoint.
So.
Yeah, he can. We let him.
Jeez. So. I typically do not comment on litigation for that particular purpose. But the township does have insurance.
It does have insurance. Enough to cover everything.
Typically, the GIFs, it's a GIF, so it's a joint insurance fund where the members pay into it. So, yeah, they typically have sufficient funds to cover claims asserted against the municipality.
Contrary to what was written in some of the public social media pages.
And then there's some litigation that doesn't involve, well, I shouldn't say that hasn't been filed yet, but not every piece of litigation that's filed by whether it's them or any other entity. For instance, if you get denied by one of the boards, planning board, zoning board, it doesn't involve a monetary, it's just they're appealing the decision, right? They may not agree, let's say, if someone didn't get an approval, they're just appealing that decision and it's focused on that. With respect to that particular group, they have a separate lawsuit that is being defended by the GIF. So,
I appreciate that.
And
I actually have one more question, if you guys don't mind. Can we look at Hickory Run Road for possibly getting it paved and leveled?
Yeah, it might be on Warren's list. We can check and see what's on his list. Okay. He keeps on top of all of that.
I guess
half of it should have to be
I guess I'm biased, but it would be nice. Maybe we can boom that up. Thank you.
Okay.
Mention it to
Warren.
Warren.
I heard it.
Brian's liaison to DPW, so he got it.
Yeah.
Hey, I was here 28 years on Little Brook Road, and we just got it paved last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And now people fly through there, and now that's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
I got to talk to the chief about that.
Nobody's flying down
Hickory Road. No.
Okay, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Keith Galloway. When you're talking about replacement of the doors, no matter what you do, don't drop the door down with a header to 6'8", because in 20 years, most of these kids are going to be 6'8". I'm not going to have to worry about it. I'll fit through it. But.
Baron Trump. Six,
we're all.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We're all shrinking.
A little bump on the head builds character.
Yeah.
You've never been in the Navy, have you?
No.
That's how you teach them to duck.
Any other public comment? Going once? Here he comes.
I'm going once, twice. It's been a while.
Haven't I read about you someplace?
Yeah, you just believe what's typed. That's what's written. It's all truthful.
Bill Bone. On the doors, I know that's been going on for a while.
And they're custom because the opening is
it's
irregular?
Irregular, correct.
Can that be narrowed down or adjusted to make them regular?
Sure, that can be done. You have to put a header on the top and
You mean just to nice. Fill in and stuff?
Fill it in and stuff.
So I'm sure there's a cost analysis, and it's pretty easy to do compared to the cost of a custom door.
Yeah, all we got to do is get somebody to do it.
We have volunteers.
No, not volunteers. We need a contractor.
Bear in mind that a lot of that delay was during COVID.
Yeah.
The manufacturer kept telling us, it's coming.
I thought it was because of Mike's contractor.
Like, yeah.
We're not going to comment on that.
No. Yeah, but the COVID excuse is getting old at this point.
Yeah, it's old.
We can't keep using COVID forever.
Well, the government is. So why should we?
It is. I am glad to see you're taking care of the township employees. And you've been through, the town's been through a lot with new employees you're replacing. And student lunch, I was told that we've had it in the past.
I thought we did, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before my time.
So I imagine I'm sure you're going to advertise it and put the police electronic bulletin board out there.
Yes, that's what I meant to say, and I didn't say it.
Yeah, so.
And it's not effective until April 29th.
Yes, no, that's good.
And we have a great set of employees now. I mean, we're lucky.
We'll be able to come in and get, permits or whatever from the planning board secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she's hybrid. She works remote. She'll be here after 4:00 if you need her by appointment. But we also have Nicole Roberts, who's taking things in for her and learning the process. So we've got a lot of team building and learning going on. Excuse me, right now.
Trying to build our bench strength
right,
so that
exactly.
we have losses, then we have somebody that can pop into that spot.
A lot of cross training.
There's adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Down the road, I imagine. Down the road. So.
Yeah.
There's adjustments for the needs.
Yeah, we've got good talent right now, which is really good.
Okay, budget update. I haven't been here in a few meetings, so anyway. You're still working on it.
We're still in deliberations right now. We've gone through a couple of different drafts. I actually was working on it when I was away last week when I was down in Florida. So I sent a bunch of questions over to Greg. And, we have it's undecided if we're going to have another meeting on the 27th, possibly. We canceled the last meeting because the questions got answered that I was satisfied with. So, we canceled the meeting, but we may have another one. And then the introduction is – Tom, I should have turned this over to you because you're the liaison.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead. You want to say something?
Greg sent over information that made some changes, and the changes seem to be, spot on, I think.
Yeah.
There may be some other questions that other committee people had, and I recommend that if you do, why don't you email Greg, copy Carolyn, and see what the answer comes back to you, and maybe that will satisfy if you have a question on the budget. And I think that Greg is moving forward in an introduction movement that potentially very soon at one of the near coming meetings that we may introduce, but I would recommend that everyone that has a question about the budget, please reach out to them.
Yeah.
And if we do need to have another meeting, let's organize it.
Yeah, it's been a very, very smooth process. It's been great.
It has been.
So it's been fun, too.
Yeah, I think everyone worked well together.
Yeah, definitely.
It's only going to be another $1,000 a year on taxes. It's not really good this year.
Plus, we got to cut our own trees down the right away.
Plus, you got to cut your own trees. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see IT's getting straightened out with all these computer crashes and stuff.
That's what I did for 40 years.
Yeah.
So now I can put it into here.
I guess we'll reclaim our data, the township's data from the high school.
From the high school, yeah.
Well, at least we got
there's
all
a lot of things that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
Carolyn's been very good when I talk about talent. She found some stuff all on her own, and then she brought in some really good people, lowered the bill for the internet in the municipal building by $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
She connected to the fire department. But no, a lot of things have changed. A lot of work has been done for you volunteering. So I got to give you kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just been through a big transition with COVID, all the other stuff. So you're getting there. Over some big hurdles have been done. So you're getting there.
Just taking the challenges one by one as they're coming through.
Yep. The tree thing that you're thinking about. I'm not too fond of that, so you may get a little pushback. You know, because there's a lot of different things. I don't have to tell you.
We don't put any undue burden on folks.
That's exactly what they're doing. If it's on township property and stuff, then keep it the way it is, because most towns are that way. Mm-hmm. Most states are that way. Unless, like the attorney said, if it's a new development, then you put the restrictions on the new development. So
drive by my driveway and you'll see how it should look.
Lead by example. Catch up.
And thank you for preserving our quality of life and doing what you do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other public comment for anything?
I thought you were clearing your throat because you wanted me to shut up.
No, that too, but
yeah, I was getting there. I was
a little under the weather.
Any more public comment? Anybody?
Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And with that, we're going into executive session, which is Resolution 67-2024. We're going to be talking about collective bargaining and some personnel. So can I get a motion to approve Resolution 67-2024 for executive session?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for coming on this rainy night.